Today we are not recording the message live at Northland Bible Church. We're having a concert today. I will be speaking and the kids club will be sharing verses and singing between my statements. And because of copyright laws and other complications, we thought it best just to give the thoughts of my message on this direct recording. So we're talking about the loving, miracle-working grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a story about love. Before there were any of us, before there were any animals and plants, before there was planet Earth or any of the stars, there was God. And that's where love originated. As God thought of all that he was about to do, he also decided to love. He decided to give. He decided to give his best to humans who would not be able to withstand temptation without him. He decided to give his best, his only begotten Son, so that whosoever will believe and trust him would have an eternal home with God. Now, God's love for the world is a perplexing subject for most people. Some expect that his love will prevent any evil being in the world. But we must understand what sin did to this world. God's love for the world is amazing, not because of the quantity of people he loves, but because of the quality of people in this world. The world's people, by nature, are unbelieving, ungodly, unreceptive to God. In John 16:33, we read, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Sin and Satan have made a mess out of things. The troubles of the world are bad enough, but those who step out in faith to believe and trust Christ are made targets. Targets that will receive the world's hatred for God. Jesus took on the world's hatred and sacrificed his life, only to take it back through the divine power of resurrection that is in him. When we are given that resurrection life, it is called the new birth. We now are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. With a new heart, full of Christ's love, we follow Christ and walk away from the things of our old life in this world. Sadly, this creates a new problem. The world resents and hates the things of God. The world's hatred for God is directed at the people who remind them of him. Jesus was fair and warned us of this conflict, so that we are not surprised. Jesus has already provided a way that we can have a life filled with joy and peace, a joy and peace that the world cannot give and it cannot take away. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." This story is not only about love. It is about power, miracle power, life-giving power. Jesus did not simply have superpowers like some Marvel comic character. He is the power. Omnipotence is his very essence. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." In creation, Jesus gave us life because he is life and is the source of life. In salvation, Jesus sees us as dead in our trespasses and sins, so he resurrects us from that spiritual deadness and gives us life again, that we might desire and know and enjoy and follow him all the rest of our lives. He gives us the power of an endless life. He restores that which has been destroyed by sin and by Satan, our enemy. He makes all things new. For Christ's people, death is not the end. It is just a transition to a life of new beginnings. We read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus did not swoop down and die on a cross and rise from the dead and go back to heaven. He lived an entire life filled with miracles, miracles that revealed his grace, love, and power. From John's Gospel, we studied, and I'm talking about Kids Club, our lessons covered how Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding, how he healed a dying son 16 miles away by only speaking, how he provided new working limbs for a man that had been paralyzed for 38 years, and the time he fed over 5,000 people with a young boy's lunch. Then he walked on water. And then he caused the discipleship to immediately be at their destination the moment he boarded their ship. We also studied how he gave sight to a man that had been blind from birth. John's Gospel also showed us how Jesus raised a man from the dead after that man had been dead for 4 days. But the climax of his miracles was when he allowed himself to be crucified and then rose from the dead 3 days later. We will be talking about that more next week, but right now we want to emphasize that the Jesus then is still the Jesus now. It was his desire to love us before the foundation of the world. It was his desire to love us when he came to earth. It is still his desire to love us now as we go through life. Jesus isn't going to change his mind. He's coming back again to fulfill that desire completely. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hebrews 13:8 helps us understand that Jesus Christ is like the North Star. The North Star is always there. It doesn't wander around like planets or other stars. You can always chart your course by it. It is dependable. So is Jesus Christ. His love, power, and purpose are always the same. He isn't going to change. You can trust your life and your soul with him. Now, when John was about done writing his gospel, he tells us in John 20:31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So let us bless the wonderful name of Jesus." Heavenly Father, please guide us to not only understand and appreciate your love, but to receive it, to walk in the power of it in our lives every day. And help us, Father, to always be looking forward to Jesus coming again to gather us. And in the meantime, we have spiritual warfare, and we have a fight, Lord, with the world who still rejects you. And yet our job is to show that love of Christ and give that truth of Jesus so that others may also be brought into the family of God. Please give us courage and strength and faith and vision for doing that, especially in these trying times we're living in. And we ask, Father, that you'll keep us faithful all the way, and that we will be able to rejoice in your presence one day and get the full force of that wonderful love, that wonderful grace, even in the ages to come, Lord, that you're going to keep revealing to us. And we ask that you do this for Jesus' sake. Amen.